Hello, I'm Dick Hayden for the North Carolina Reading Service, and it's time to connect to success. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Success is very personal. It's all about hope, imagination, resilience, and being open to what is possible. In the end, it is what you decide is most important to you. During today's program, we're going to explore connecting to success by reading about how others have been able to connect with their personal definition of success. We'll begin with an article entitled "Visual Impairment Does Not Stop This Child's Success," and it comes from the BrailleInstitute.org. Gavin Smith has suffered with severely limited eyesight during his decade of living. The San Antonio Elementary School student has a condition known as uveitis, a form of eye inflammation that, according to the Mayo Clinic, affects the middle layer of the tissue in the eye wall, the uvea. Yet, Gavin hasn't let this stop him from living life to the fullest and learning simultaneously. A fifth grader who balances his studies at San Antonio Elementary with additional classes through Pasco eSchool, Gavin has placed third in the Western Region of Florida, apprentice level, in a nationwide Braille contest known as the Braille Challenge. A program of the Braille Institute, the challenge is an activity that, at regional and ultimately national levels, tests students' knowledge of Braille. It's an exam that challenges their vocabulary, reading and writing skills, and reading comprehension. "I wasn't used to reading Braille for that long, and sometimes I felt like crying," said Gavin. "But when I found out about my honor, I felt happy." Gavin counts reading among his favorite subjects and personal hobbies. He pursues it with the help of a magnifying machine, a Braille reader, a reading globe, and Braille and talking books. Some of these devices are supplied through the school district of Pasco County, while others are provided through national agencies that serve the visually impaired. "I don't need books that have pictures," said Gavin, who counts Ellen Miles and R.L. Stine among his favorite authors. "The words draw the pictures in my mind." Gavin also enjoys writing about and discussing his favorite reads, composing essays in class, and discussing books with friends and family members. "He loves to tell me all about the books that he reads," said Mom, Julie Smith. Gavin also likes to study science and has a love for animals, one that he hopes to put to work in the future as a zoologist. "Gavin is a success story," said Gonzalo Garcia Velata, teacher of the visually impaired. "He works very hard and is college-bound." His mother agrees. "Of course, I was nervous about him participating in the Braille Challenge, but I had confidence," she said, adding as she turned with a smile to her son, "I knew you could do it." Next, we're going to hear about Josh Tabor. It's an article titled "Josh Tabor's Success Story," and it comes from the Division of the Blind and Visually Impaired, dbvi.vermont.gov. Josh has Usher's syndrome, with resulting retinitis pigmentosa and hearing loss. He can only perceive light. He is a Braille reader and uses JAWS computer technology. In the fall of 2011, he set his sights on a job at Ann Clark Limited, the famous cookie cutter company based in Rutland, Vermont. Josh approached Kevin Coleman, HR manager, and persisted in his efforts to get into the factory, working in partnership with his DBVI counselor, Melissa Hollerick, and a VABIR employment consultant, Nancy Gordon. The team worked with the company to develop progressive employment opportunities for Josh. First was a three-day-a-week part-time work experience in the summer of 2012, giving the employer the chance to evaluate Josh, and DBVI the opportunity to assess and provide accommodations. Josh made an immediate impression on the owners, who were impressed not only with Josh's abilities, but his work ethic and personality, noting that Josh's presence improved morale and productivity of the entire staff. Josh had been using his cane on the job initially, but was hoping to bring his guide dog, Casey, to work with him, especially if he were to be hired. Josh was indeed hired part-time, 5 days a week, under an on-the-job training agreement. As the Clarks are dog lovers, they decided to give Casey a spot to the side of the factory floor, even profiling both Josh and Casey on Ann Clark's personal cookie blog. Another success story comes from a fellow named Matt. It's titled Matt's Success Story, and it also comes from the Division of the Blind and Visually Impaired in Vermont, dbvi.vermont.gov. Matt has retinitis pigmentosa, a condition that he shares with his mother and maternal grandmother. Although he was able to drive as a teenager, presently Matt is legally blind, with vision of 20/400. Matt had worked successfully in a warehouse in Kentucky for 7 years, but decided to move north when his family relocated to Vermont. The challenge was to find him a position suited to his interests and experience, and to make transportation as little a concern as possible. A.W. Perkins is a company that manufactures and sells products for professional chimney sweeps and do-it-yourself homeowners. They were looking for a warehouse and assembly assistant through Creative Workforce Solutions, the collective of employment services of which the Division for the Blind and Visually Impaired is a member. A.W. Perkins was looking for a full-time employee, but because of the quality of his work and character, the company was willing to hire Matt for 35 hours a week so that he could retain his needed benefits. As a bonus, the company is a 10-minute walk from Matt's home. Matt did a 4-week work experience as a warehouse worker during July 2013, and in early August was hired as a warehouse and assembly assistant under an on-the-job training agreement with DBVI. Matt's supervisor, Bill Madison, says Matt not only exceeds expectations, he's an outstanding member of the team. Bill notes that while there are certain accommodations Matt needs, such as the use of a CCTV and a handheld magnifier, and another member of the team needs to put glue on rods in a very tight spot, Matt covers for other employees because he can do things that they cannot. Matt, a tall, strapping young man, is the second and younger member of the team named Matt, so has become affectionately known as Little Matt at work. Our next article is titled Robert's Story. It comes from blind.iowa.gov. The article originally appeared in the Iowa Falls Times-Citizen, and it's titled Seeing the World Differently, Eakin Lives Blindly but Independently. And here's a sidebar at the beginning of the article called the White Cane Law. Iowa state law, any driver of a vehicle or operator of a motor-driven vehicle who approaches or comes in contact with a person wholly or partially blind, carrying a cane or walking stick white in color or white tipped with red, or being led by a guide dog wearing a harness and walking on either side of or slightly in front of said blind person, shall immediately come to a complete stop and take such precautions as may be necessary to avoid accident or injury to the person carrying the cane or walking stick white in color or white tipped with red or being led by a guide dog. Pedestrians using a guide dog or carrying a white cane have absolute right-of-way. Do not use your horn as it could confuse or frighten the pedestrian who is blind. That's the white cane law in Iowa. So here's our story about Robert. Robert Eakin has proven many people wrong, first by surviving a premature birth and two surgeries, and now living independently, despite the fact that he is legally blind. Now, Eakin's family is hoping to improve his quality of life even more through education about white cane laws. Imagine your eyes are closed as you try to stand up and walk out the closet door to go outside. You start walking and you get to the nearest street. Picture trying to step off the curb and cross the road without seeing where you're going. Now imagine you are doing this each and every day of your life, listening for the sounds of cars whizzing by in the fear that the drivers won't stop. That even though they are legally supposed to give you the right-of-way and allow you to cross, they don't. Trying to come out of the house through the closest door to the outside and running into that. That is Robert Eakin's daily struggle. He was born 10 weeks premature with a detachment of the retina and was flown to Texas Children's Hospital, where he had two surgeries while he was in the neonatal intensive care unit. Robert is now totally blind in the right eye and has 20 over 200 vision in the left eye, which is considered legally blind. Robert Eakin navigates the streets of Iowa Falls using a white cane. Drivers are required to give blind people the right-of-way. At 26 years old, Robert lives in an apartment across the street from his parents' house in Iowa Falls. While his mother will come over to help him clean and get groceries, Robert does most things on his own. With the help of his cookbook, written in 48-point font, Robert loves to cook. One of his favorite things is to make pasta. He did not let his disability stop him. Too many people who have a disability will let it stop them. They expect the world to wait on them hand and foot and give them what they need. Not Robert, said his father, Bob Eakin. He goes for what he wants. He works for it. He doesn't expect things to be handed to him on a silver platter. He's been taught all his life, you have to work for what you get. There's no free handouts in life. Robert set a personal goal of moving out when he was 25 years old. His parents bought the house divided into three apartments across the street so that Robert could live in a building they owned and still be close if he needs anything. He's been on his own now for almost 2 years. The place on Estes Street is centrally located so that Robert can walk to the Dale Howard Family Activity Center to go swimming, which he loves to do. Or he can walk to the Barlow Library, Dollar General, and sometimes Robert will even head over to McDonald's. The hardest part for him, though, is crossing the street. Despite being blind, Robert Eakin is good with his hands. He enjoys taking computers apart and using their parts to build new computers. When I go to the library on my own, well, you try and walk across River Street. Nobody stops for that white cane. And Washington Street, the same thing, Robert said. Because of his challenge, he and his family want to bring awareness to the community. The white cane gives those who use it the absolute right of way. Robert is not alone. While the Eakins said they think they know of two or three other legally blind Iowa Falls residents, there were 81 registered blind or visually impaired residents of Hardin County in 2013, according to the Iowa Department for the Blind. Though there are everyday struggles, Robert has developed many skills. It turns out he's very good with his hands. He can take computers apart and put them back together. I take things and I make something out of nothing, Robert said. When you lose your vision, you gain other senses that are more delicate, his dad added. He can feel with his fingers those little screws, and where they go, he just knows. Liz Sonnen is a rehabilitation teacher through the Iowa Department of the Blind and works with adults who want to live on their own. Robert is one of her youngest clients. We, that is she and Robert, are focusing on some independent living to be able to live independently because it was kind of new for him living here at first, said Sonnen. When she is working with a client, she establishes goals. We look at things in daily living, setting appliances, identifying pantry items, being able to cook at least 3 different meals, teaching him techniques so he can generalize the other things, she said. One of her main focuses with Robert is blind travel with the white cane. He has learned to lean on other people and doesn't always use it, meaning the cane. So he needs to get out on the street in the community, Sonan said. Robert also has a leisure goal of library using and exploring options on computerized speech. Robert's family said that they're looking getting an iOS device for him, not only because he loves technology, but because there are a lot of applications that he could use. Liz Sonan added that eventually she'd like to see Robert working. She said she thinks an iPad would also help him, enabling Robert to communicate with other blind people. As his dad, I want to see him succeed on his own and live, said Bob. He has outdone what everyone thought he could do. Some said he'd make it a week, some said a month, others said a year. He has already passed everybody's thought that they had. Robert's caseworker, Mary Rosendahl, said that she sees a bright future for him. And Liz Sonan added, the sky's the limit for Robert. Well, we've had a couple of stories about guys. I think it's about time we had one for the gals. This is titled Sherry's Success Story, and it comes as well from the Division of the Blind and Visually Impaired at dbvi.vermont.gov. Here's Sherry's success story. Sherry has been blind since birth. She wears prosthetic eyes and is hearing impaired. She's a Braille reader, a JAWS user, and an expert white cane user. Sherry came to Vermont from Missouri in April of 2013 with nothing but 2 suitcases and a broken ankle. She had followed her ex-husband, who had custody of her children, so that she could establish and execute visitation rights. While staying at Jen's Motel, Sherry was referred to and applied for DBVI services. She enrolled in the Homemaker Program and received services and aids to further her goal of managing her household and caring for herself and her children. Those services included hearing aids, rehabilitation teaching, low vision aids, and orientation and mobility services. After reaching her goals in the Homemaker Program, which included moving into an efficiency apartment and receiving treatment for chronic back pain, Sherry decided that she was ready for gainful employment. She had limited work experience and wanted to move forward in her life, so she enrolled in DBVI's VR program in July of 2015. Since then, she has worked in partnership with her DBVI rehabilitation counselor and VABIR job development services in preparation for her first work experience. In December of 2015, Sherry moved from her efficiency into a 1-bedroom apartment to make visitation from her children easier. In her new program, Sherry received many services with which to increase her independence and enable her to work toward employment. She received an assistive technology evaluation, a refurbished computer through Resource, an updated JAWS program, a barcode reader, a Brailler, open book optical character recognition software, and a Pearl camera. She also received iPhone training from DBVI's technology trainer, who helped Sherry download several helpful apps. With the help of the DBVI and VABIR teams, Sherry began a work experience in May of 2016 with Goodwill Industries of the Berkshires, Incorporated, located in Rutland, Vermont. Her job was hanging clothes. She did so well that they hired her. However, she needed a Vermont non-driver ID. After a great deal of red tape navigation, Sherry received her ID just in time for her hire date. In an email received from Thomas Kessup Jr., Rutland Goodwill manager, in July of 2016, he had this to say: "I would like to take the opportunity to thank you and your staff for placing Sherry with our organization. Sherry fits right in, extremely hardworking, and an excellent team player. We are proud that we can call her one of our employees. The truth is, we are here to change lives, but Sherry has changed many of ours. She is an asset to us." Since her hire, Sherry's job has expanded to cleaning up the sales floor, sorting donations, matching shoes, and greeting at the door, and bagging. She received an award as Employee of the Week in September of 2016, and will be receiving a more formal award for outstanding work ethic. Amidst all of this, in July of 2016, Sherry underwent corrective surgery to better align her prosthetic eyes. Then in the early part of October 2016, Sherry's daughter moved in with her, and they are now searching for larger accommodations. Sherry's new status amongst the employed enables her to afford many of the comforts of life that before were out of reach. We have another story along this line. Katrine, K-A-T-R-I-N-E, I think that's how we'll pronounce it, Katrine Hughes' success story. Also, the Division of the Blind and Visually Impaired, dbvi.vermont.gov. Katrine Hughes, I'm going to use that, even though there's an E on the end. Katrine Hughes, L-I-C-S-W, M-S-W, has been legally blind since birth. She is a therapist and coach currently practicing in Rutland, Vermont. She is a licensed, independent, clinical social worker and has provided psychotherapy and coaching services in California and Vermont over the last 26 years. She earned her bachelor's degree in social work and sociology at Castleton University and earned her master's degree in social work at San Francisco State University. Katrine works collaboratively to support clients in discovering new perspectives, practicing life-enhancing skills, developing a deeper understanding of self and others. And you can find out more about her practice by visiting www.findingyourpath.org. I can personally attest to the difficulty Katrine has gone through in getting to where she is because my wife happens to also be a licensed independent clinical social worker. And I watched all the work that she put in going to school, getting her master's degree, and doing clinical rotations. Very difficult for her, but she is sighted. Much more difficult if one is not sighted. But it shows what is entirely possible. Our final story in our program today is called Derek's Success Story. Believe it or not, this also comes from the Division of the Blind and Visually Impaired, dbvi.vermont.gov. Derek's success story. Driving through the back roads of Topsham, T-O-P-S-H-A-M. Sounds kind of English, doesn't it? Topsham. Topsham, Vermont. It's not easy to miss Flint Motorsports, as the lot is almost entirely covered by small machinery. Lawnmowers, small tractors, and even snowblowers, which I guess makes sense given that it's Vermont, some of which are housed there permanently, but most have been recently repaired and are getting ready to be shipped back to a Home Depot or Tractor Supply located throughout Vermont and New Hampshire. You're kind of trying to get an idea what's going on here, folks. I think Derek's got something that he's put together. This is not in the article. This is just me. Something that he's put back together that enables him to be doing business in two states. Back to the article. Derek is the proud business owner of Flint Motorsports, which he founded in 2010, when he was just 20 years old. He's also visually impaired due to congenital glaucoma, which has presented visual challenges for Derek throughout his life. Derek notes that whatever visual challenges he faces, he never lets that get in the way of working hard and accomplishing his goals. Derek began working with the DBVI when he was in high school. At first, his counselor supported him by ensuring that the school was accommodating of his visual needs. As Derek got older, he worked with his counselor to acquire work skills and refine his own career goals. Although Derek says that he didn't always envision himself as a business owner, as a high school student, Derek participated in a technical education program in which he attained a passion for heavy equipment repairs and developed the foundation for his future career. After graduating high school, DBVI assisted Derek in establishing his first work experience. Derek completed work experiences at Randy's Sunoco Gasoline Station, Sable and Sons Auto Repair, and Absolute Power Sports. In June of 2010, Derek decided that he wanted to open his own small repair shop. With the assistance of DBVI, Derek was able to establish his shop and acquire the work tools necessary for making equipment repairs. Additionally, Derek received support regarding several assistive devices that he uses in his work life, such as Zoom Text, a CCTV, a magnifier, and a digital torque wrench. Initially, the business started out small and mostly local, which wasn't always easy. Derek began contracting with local stores, such as Tractor Supply. And as time was on, he was able to partner with a warranty agency, which is how a lot of his new business comes in. This, along with networking and positive reviews, has created a snowball effect for Derek. At his shop, Derek services about 1,000 lawn tractors every year and services about $250,000 worth of equipment per year. Additionally, Flint Motorsports is number 4 in the Northeast United States for volume of repairs. Derek says with a smile that each year the business continues to grow. He attributes his success to the support of his counselor and his family over the years. However, there is absolutely no doubt that Derek would not be where he is today without a tremendous amount of hard work and determination on his own part. Derek hopes that in sharing his success story, it might make a difference in the lives of others with visual impairments, considering their own goals. What a story. We've pretty well come to the end of our material for today's episode of Connect to Success. We certainly hope that you have enjoyed today's program and found something in it that can be beneficial or beneficial to someone that you know, because success can come in so many different ways. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call NCRS at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you.